coming over, but I won't be long. I'm coming over, I'm making a new song. Car and it's a 15 minutes drive. Rock classics on the radio to clear my mind. Sometimes in the weekends we meet our favorite cafe.
Hello, this is Swan, and you're listening to Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. And today I have my super hot boyfriend, Chris Johnson, in the studio helping me out because my co-host Nasa is off doing theater stuff. Hi, Chris, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well. Today I'm so excited to talk to Steven Peterman of the Sketchbook Project. You're also a photographer and an artist, but lately you've been mostly busy with the project and the library. So if you're just tuning in and you've never heard anything about it, what it is it started in 2006, right?
Yeah.
And as I understand, it came about because you finished your master's, your MFA.
No, BFA.
BFA, that's the one. I'm giving you more school than you
did. He finished his PhD.
He's got a triple PhD.
In sketchbooks.
Something like that. Anyways, but you're looking for a way to showcase art and just came about this idea of like, well, what about sketchbooks and, you know, just accepting art from, like, there's no hoops you have to jump through to be in the library. So you got 500 submissions that first year. Did it just start with a website and you're like, here's this idea? Did you promote it at all?
Yeah, we really just didn't know what we were doing at all. We had like this super primitive website and it was like a couple years before Kickstarter. So I felt like we didn't know what crowdfunding was and people like yelled at us a lot in the beginning because of what we were doing. Because people just didn't understand the concept of like paying money for that entry kind of fee.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but the Sketchbook Project was the second or third project we did, and we neither of us had kept sketchbooks, and we're like, people kept being like, you should do something with sketchbooks. And we're like, all right, whatever.
Wait, so you never personally had...
No. I still don't keep a sketchbook.
So
now.
Nothing in the Brooklyn Art Library.
I do have a few there that I have made for the project, but prior to the project,
that's
I have
not. That's wonderful. That validates me, like, being here, being like, I talk about writing all the time. And they're like, well, great, what have you published? Nothing.
But maybe I think it gives you, you know, a different perspective, yeah, which is good.
I'm still learning.
Yeah.
That's great. So you had a couple other projects before this.
Yeah.
What kind of things were they similar things? Or
similar. We did a photo project where we sent out disposable cameras and had people kind of do... you know, take the roll and mail it back. And we kind of did a whole exhibition with them. And, but we wanted to get more into the fine art. We thought of it so like not conceptual. We were like, what objects can we send? We would like
that
joke.
You get back. Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, we're sending out 500 banana peels. Like, what can you do?
Show us your banana. That's a thing. There's a guy that makes art on bananas.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, good for him. Yeah. Yeah, so we're like, let's do sketchbooks. And so we did it. And yeah, it seemed to kind of relate to people more. And our primitive marketing was like, let's post on Craigslist and say, hey, you should. We just like went to each city and we're like, you should do this. And we would just get marked for spam a lot. And, you know, we didn't know how else to do it. But it was our actual first... kind of press we got. We were on the Yahoo Daily Wire from like they stopped doing it like 10 years ago, like right when we started, but we were on one of the last ones. And so we woke up in the morning and we had like 50 people sign up. We were like, whoa,
it's like a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. So yeah, we just wanted to kind of see where it would go, but really, yeah, it was starting out just
that first year, 500 submissions, yeah. people agreeing to pay a certain amount of money to have you send them a sketchbook that they would send back to you.
Yeah.
And you started accumulating a fair amount of sketchbooks. You have over 35,000 now.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So, and then you started actually having a physical housing for them in 2010. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So late 2009 is when we moved to Brooklyn and we opened up the Brooklyn Art Library, the first rendition mm-hmm. of it in Red Hook in 2010.
And then recently moved to a larger space.
So we moved to Williamsburg first in late 2010. We were only in that first space for a while. And then, yeah, we just moved to the big space in March.
And then the big space is really nice because you're offering studio space as well. And then people can have like a shared studio in this like inspirational library situation.
Yeah, so we have three private studios and then we have a co-working space in the back that's kind of... We're just trying to figure out what we want to do with it. We have a few members right now, but we really want to get people into the space and working and like creating that community feel.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then you also started hosting events this past... Is it just this past year or it was last year you started hosting events?
Yeah, we've done our own events and we're trying to like have events at the space for other organizations in Brooklyn. We've been doing a lot of events with Girl Party recently, which is really fun. And
also Nomadic Press, which is where I was exposed. I mentioned it on the show. I went and saw the comic book slideshow,
yeah.
and it was wonderful, yeah. so highly recommended.
Their shows are really awesome, and I missed the first one, and then I just went to the one the other, like, a couple months ago, and I was like, this is really cool, so I was like, keep doing this, guys.
Yeah, so my question also is, you also toured with the Sketchbook Project, and was that before you had a space, or during?
Yeah, it was during. We had a space in Atlanta where we started. And
you started with like Craigslist ads saying we're coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, we just like I emailed a bunch of venues and we're like, hey, me and this dude are driving sketchbooks around in a Honda Civic, so can we come to your space? And we found a couple of good venues and a couple like we showed up and we're like, this is the creepiest place ever, but yeah, it was just, I don't know why I did that. I think I just wanted to go on a road trip to begin with.
Yeah, build it into what your work is. Oh, we have to.
For sure. Oh, yeah, no one can see us quoting the air.
Air quotes are not audible. So the reason I mentioned that is you recently did a tour and ended up in LA and flew back.
Right? Yeah.
So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so somehow, like 10 years later, I'm still driving this thing around the country.
In a Honda Civic?
No, we've moved up. We have a church van, like a Ford
E350. 16,
yeah, 15, yeah. 16 people it can fit. And we pull the trailer, our mobile library with us. And so we drove to Chicago and then Cedar Rapids and Boulder and then Los Angeles. And then we drove to Phoenix and flew back from there. We have a lot of partners for our summer tours, and this year we worked with Faber-Castell, which they're amazing. And
they are amazing. They're my favorite art supplier.
We've worked with other art supplies, and I'm not just saying this because we're still currently working with them.
But they're the best.
They were seriously the best. They gave us tons of stuff to give out, and they were just like, gave us like the cutest stuff and like pencil sharpeners and like all the stuff that they didn't need to do, and they just made it really excellent, and they were so easy to work with, and they really just were excited about our mission. So I really feel like people should support them because they're definitely supporting other art organizations.
Yeah. What is your mission? Do you have it memorized?
What is my mission? We don't, because we are not a nonprofit, and I say art organization and people always think that, but we call ourselves an at-profit company because we don't make any money, but...
but you do cool things.
We do cool things. We put everything back into the business. There is three of us that do everything. I think we have a lot of different missions, and it's definitely evolved over the years. I mean, I want people to be able to participate in art, and I think that's, like, the basic one, but it's not that we're this, like, art for everyone thing. I think that people have a story to tell. I don't necessarily... 100% believe like everyone should be like dedicating all of their time to art, but I think people should be who have that creativeness inside of them should have a place to share it.
Explore it.
Yeah, and I don't like these places that do call for entries and they don't guarantee you entry, and I think we wanted to do something different with that. I don't also like the opposite side where galleries and museums are so exclusive and you need to know someone or you need to submit your work on a CD, and it just feels really strange. So we're trying to find that middle ground, but making it really affordable for artists and kind of figuring out the best way for people to do something with this project and feel inspired by it.
Well, and I snuck a peek at your book, and I liked something that so this is in the foreword by Chris Jobson,
yeah.
And he says, in the age of everything digital, where words and images are shared at an increasingly frenetic pace and success is measured in clicks and likes, it is almost miraculous that a worldwide artistic endeavor like the Sketchbook Project even exists. He goes on to say that 31,000 people now, more than 35, of all ages, all artistic abilities, and all walks of life have enthusiastically committed time and energy to fill the pages of a sketchbook submitted for public consumption, is to realize our collective need for something real. And I like that because it's, at the end of the day, it's always like a tactile thing. You also offer the mobile library and then digital copies of sketchbooks. So it's, as an artist, it's an interesting way to digitally archive for yourself and for mass consumption.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of sites where you can create a portfolio, and that's fine. But I think for a lot of fine artists, they just want, like, who wants to sit there and scan their sketchbook and, like, put it up on a site and pay a monthly fee and all that. So what we're trying to do is just, like, I try to explain to people that, you know, you pay for digitizing. There's a human who's scanning it and putting it up online, and then it lives
because
forever.
Because you don't want to.
Yeah, because you don't want to. And I think it's just, like, this really nice service. But it's also, you know, I think it's where we have a lot of, like, potential to reach a lot of people. Most of our books have, like, over 100 views, and most of them have thousands of views. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I believe Chris had an interesting question. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this. You know, I love this idea that anyone can submit a sketchbook, and, you know, you're saying that's in contrast to galleries, which are super exclusive and whatnot. But then I was thinking, are there any sketchbooks that you reject for any reason?
Yeah, so we don't reject it as long as it fits the size requirements, which is just remaining the same 5x7 and it's not thicker than an inch. We do accept everything. We have a no glitter rule, which
I read that.
It's just because we literally, like, we don't want things that damage the books around it or like are messy. So we have
glitter.
Corn.
If there's even a spot, it's,
yeah, it's everywhere. So we quarantine books.
The 90s.
So we do have a couple of books that are in sleeves that we put them in, and we just, like, warn the viewer that, like, you're going to get glitter bumped.
Yeah.
For content-wise, we don't do anything like that other than we do mark them off as adult content, but that's only just because we don't want to give them to children, and that's
so
probably
good. So if a 7-year-old comes in and he's got, like, this racy book that he wants to look at, you have a system in place. I mean, not that censorship is an interesting topic.
Yeah,
and
it's weird because we always debate that too. We're like, it's definitely just like a portrait of a naked woman, but it's not sexual.
Or, I mean, the example you thought of, Chris, is like something that's like really just like hate.
Yeah, I was thinking about like a sketchbook feel like a hate speech. Like, is that something that's allowed to have a place in this? I know this is like super devil's advocate here, but
no, and it's a good question, and we haven't had to deal with it that much, to be honest.
Be nice, everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is definitely probably going to happen. I would say one day, and we have, some circumstances where things were inappropriate, and we dealt with it accordingly. But it's it was the same artist, and it was two books out of, 35,000. So.
Oh, the same artist twice had, like, a problem?
Yeah.
Can you, like, generalize and tell us, or is it too personal?
We want names.
It's just inappropriate for children. Like, it's about children and just stuff that should not be.
Like, pedophilia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Crosses that line.
That's all we need to know.
No, but not like specifically like the books, but
not like explicit.
It's
was
this
strange.
Whole like they were weird.
It was a strange
and we
vibe.
Did research and we figured out that it was not a good scene for us to be involved in. So, we don't. But we don't really have that many issues, and I think a lot of...
And you also, like, don't affiliate yourself with anything. So even if I'm promoting something in my sketchbook, that, like, doesn't mean that's going to follow that the sketchbook project is supporting that.
And we very much do not make political statements. We just stay out of all of that.
We just want to make sketches.
Yeah, we want to be open to everyone. We don't want anyone to feel isolated by us. And so we, like, I rarely even put up, like, holiday stuff. Like, even, like... I've, like, put up a 4th of July book before, like, that's, like, as far as... Like,
Jingoism.
But we have international people, too, so we don't even want...
Yeah, you don't want to be like, America's awesome. Yeah. Well, you do offer, like, themes for people to follow when doing their sketchbooks. Talk a little bit about where those come from and how people respond to them.
Yeah. That was something we did in the beginning, and people... We used to have one theme per year, and that was the first couple years, and then we switched to, like, 20 or so. One year we went really crazy and had like 45 themes, which was a little much.
How was that, getting a notebook?
honestly, we've tried once to stop and people like revolted against us.
People love parameters. Yeah. This is actually something I've been exploring recently is like boundaries help you make a full, like it helps you feel full. If you're just like out there, then all your ideas are just going in all the directions and you're just like hard to pigeonhole and like mold something.
Yeah, for sure. So we... The one year we kind of got in trouble for doing really basic stuff. So we, I mean, honestly, we just like come up with them one afternoon.
And people are vocal about their feedback, it sounds like. People are like, these themes suck, or are they?
Just like a lot of, well, when we go on tour, we get a lot of like side comments where people, like, people who participated are like, oh, I really liked your old theme. So we're like really passive aggressive.
Well, and I like to, you talk about the sketchbooks being a legacy, a memoir, a novel, a time capsule, but most importantly, a real life story. And I love that there's like always the emphasis on the people behind the sketchbooks and like giving a part of yourself to this project. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I think that's kind of my favorite part of it is just the amount of like, trueness people put into their books and how we have these books about people like losing a loved one or like using it for like therapeutic reasons or people who have never made art before and then decided to go back to art school after doing this project. And I think that is one of the things that have kept us going for
so long. And the personal stories that is catching some of them and like made me just like, aww.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's just, you know, one of our most viewed books on our digital library. I always talk about this one, but it's a woman who got the book on the day she was diagnosed with cancer and then finished it when she was cured of or went into remission for cancer. And I just like, I'm glad that like people can, it's been viewed like 8,000 times on our website and it's like people like looking for that kind of thing. And I'm glad that people can find that. And a lot of people have just told us, you know, that they use it for like a therapeutic thing every year. And I think that makes it special and different. You know, it's not just for people who have a cool creative idea and what they want to draw. It's for people that have something they want to share. And we did a pop-up in Oakland a few years ago, and we were there for 3 weeks, and this guy made a book about his father dying, and every day different family members would come and look through the book and cry. And like it was this like really crazy experience for us there on the ground, just like watching these people like use this as a mourning tool. And so I'm really into that.
In terms of like grief recovery, like America culturally isn't very good at coping with grief. We're like, deal with it. Time will heal all wounds. And, but like, no, expression and feeling validated in what you're feeling. I wanted to read some more stories that I found of just you on the tour and things that happened. But I have to find it first.
I'll ask a question in the meantime. Have you had any, like, for lack of a better word, like celebrities or notable figures submit sketchbooks? Anyone particularly interesting?
We have had celebrities buy the project, and I don't think any of them have sent it back. But I just, you know, we really have like a super democratic system, and I'm even if we did, unless I like happened to see it or notice it or it came up, I really wouldn't know because we don't have a way of like gauging that. And I really hope that Banksy has a book in our collection. Like that's totally something he would do, or he or she would do.
And or they, as the case may be.
Collectively, I just, if they're, you know, really into Radio Free Brooklyn, I think that they should do that.
Yeah, big plug, shout out. So this is talking about the tour through North America. And you said there was the Atlanta couple who reunited with their nephew who works as a designer in Seattle by spending an afternoon flipping through one of his sketchbooks. And the marriage proposal, cleverly executed through an artist sketchbook with help from us at an afternoon show in Chicago. In Austin, Texas, we shared a quiet moment with Catherine Mahoney when she gave us a glimpse into the story of her late best friend, Barb, and their adventures together. In Portland, Oregon, we met an 8-year-old who doesn't believe in making mistakes while drawing, reminding us all a little bit about humility. The range of creativity and artistic voices available in North America are as varied as the region itself.
So, where are you reading that from? That's good.
It's in your book.
Sweet. We just had another wedding proposal actually at the
Yay!
Library too.
Yeah. Love.
I think it's so cute. I couldn't be there for it, and I was really upset because
how does that work? Someone's like, "Here's a sketchbook. You should read it," and then everyone's like peeking, like, "Whoa!"
Well, the one that recently, the girl had done a sketchbook, and so he came earlier and like put the proposal in her book because they knew that they would come, and they had their first date at our space.
Aww.
So super cute. Same thing, really, in the one in Chicago. The guy came and, like, stuck the note in her book, and so they checked out their
book. And
yeah.
Something fell out of it.
Yeah.
Gross.
Ew.
I think that touring has allowed us to meet a lot of really interesting people and kind of get that backstory. I mean, the internet is so anonymous sometimes, and so you have these ideas of people, and then we get to go meet them, and they're just like,
"Be like, this was your book."
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and it's cool. And again, I really just love the people that use it for more than
or
just
I mean,
trying.
Like taking your own spin on it. I read about one book that was just like this medieval, like metal and like intricate cover, and then you opened it and it was blank pages.
Yeah.
Like that was the art piece was just this like creation with metal. Is that something that happens a lot where you get these like really abstract interpretations of what a submission is?
Yeah.
You want to talk about some other strange ones?
Actually, I had someone search the term paint just the last week, and it was, and I pulled the book off, and it was just like they just completely painted the book shut. Like, so it was
that's
just
what I was wondering. I was like, what happens if you just like color each page a different color and like, this is my book.
Yeah, I mean, I think people
just like, this is what I'm comfortable doing, and at least I'm putting a mark on the page.
Yeah, and I think we have a lot of, I think people who do it their first time, I think take it more literally and like make a sketchbook, and then they'll come to a show or they'll look online and be like, oh, like I could have done whatever I want.
Yeah, well, and I also liked at the comic like slideshow, one of the artists was like, oh, here's my to-do list. And it just was like boxes and boxes of like little things, and some of them were scribbled out and some of them weren't. So
yeah.
It's just like so mundane, but also like, what? His to-do list is so interesting.
Yeah. There's a girl in Louisville, Kentucky that we met who's done a few books, and she does that, but they're like so cute. Like she just draws these like lists and they're just like the cutest thing. Yeah.
Well, speaking of writing marks on pages, both of you guys are not intuitively writers, I take it?
No.
I've never held a pen.
Oh, so this will be an interesting experiment for us. So I like to do just kind of like a quick prompt and then a free write. We're going to write to African music, so just forewarning you, it might get a little beat intense.
I'll be distracting.
It actually, just give it a minute. But yeah, so really quick, also you're listening to Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you want to join the community or pledge, support the community, radiofreebrooklyn.com. And then if you want to, buy us a cocktail or a coffee or commit to donating $1 a month, like what is it hurting you and it really helps us, radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. So there's that. And it's really fun. We have great parties and great events. So our poem today is, or I guess our excerpt today is called Two Wings. Observe the qualities of expansion and contraction in the fingers of your hand. Surely, after the closing of the fist, comes the opening. If the fingers were always closed or always open, the owner would be crippled. Your movement is governed by these two qualities. They are necessary to you, as two wings are to a bird. And there's like a Matthew 3... 1362-66. I don't know what that is. Credit due where credit given where credit's due. I got this from Amanda Palmer's Instagram feed. So that's that. You can write against the prompt or with the prompt and just flow whatever comes. Let me read it one more time.
For sure.
Two wings. Observe the qualities of expansion and contraction in the fingers of your hand. Surely after the closing of the fist comes the opening. If the fingers were always closed or always open, the owner would be crippled. Your movement is governed by these two qualities. They are necessary for you as two wings are to a bird. Go ahead and take a few minutes to wrap up thoughts that are floating around. I didn't hear that. Drums are very distracting. Maybe it's like you gotta get into rhythm with it. Alright, so a short one, are we?
Whatever.
A few more seconds. Finish that sentence. So, part of this is an invitation to read what you wrote. Is either of you inclined to read? But there's no obligation. It's just an offering, if you would like.
I just wrote a bit. Mine was a little silly.
I like silly. No pressure, but...
I think you should read it.
Okay, fine. My hands dictate my actions. They stay smooth and straight, Terminator style, as I go for a run. They curl around my camera, fingers at the ready, as I wait to photograph wildlife. And they find warmth and connection when entwined in someone else's hands.
Aww. Thank you. Would you like to read?
Okay, I said... Do you feel like the pigeons of New York City are watching you? Like they're definitely smarter than we think, right? Should I be concerned?
I love it. Yes. I'm going to be contemplating that for weeks to come.
Very Hitchcockian.
Yes, it is indeed. I wrote short as well. Movement being governed by expansion and contraction, the ebbs and flow. At times I give. I am able to give much, a lot, sometimes even all. Yet sometimes I am empty and I hold space and I have to receive. And I feel like receiving is so much harder for most.
You guys are so deep and I'm just like...
No way! No way! Like, I'm so glad you read what you wrote.
I almost just drew a picture of a pigeon.
Yes, that would have been appropriate.
I didn't know if there were rules for those.
Nope. I had a filmmaker do a sketch during the free write, so I thought that was appropriate for him. He's a visual artist. I want to talk a little bit about your personal art. You're a photographer. Is that something you're able to invest time in now? And do you want to talk about kind of where you've gone with your art and your creative life?
Yeah. I mean, I think my creative side, though, really comes out in like projects like the Sketchbook Project. I've always just kind of felt I was an organizer and, even when I went to art school, I would like hang a bunch of squares on my wall of my studio and like hide in there and like let people draw on them with like a prompt. And like I was always very interactive with it. So I do feel a lot of times I can get that creativeness out for that. But I have this like weird mix of like I'm like half a creative person and half like a business side. So I really enjoy like making businesses or like brainstorming weird businesses that probably shouldn't make any money. like the sketch project.
Yeah.
So I kind of spend a lot of time doing that. And with photography, I really have just always done it for fun. I've done it since I was like in high school. And
will you tell us a little bit about like what you like to photograph? And
yeah, I just really I kind of like doing definitely like natural light stuff. A lot of times I like to take the lens off and hold it in front.
Oh, we talked about this. Yeah.
And one of those.
Yeah. Even when I got my degree in printmaking, that was like my thing. I was like, how long can I stick this in the acid before it's like...
you like to push the boundaries.
Yeah. No, just like kind of having fun with it. So I kind of do that a lot. But like we were talking about before, I also really kind of like shooting weddings because I think it's this like weird intimate experience. And you kind of get to be this like... Like, you don't get to have your wedding day again, but you get to, like, be this VIP at
moment.
This person's day. And, like, but you don't have to talk to anyone. Like, and that's, like, totally... like, I get to be there for, you know, the cab ride to the venue with the bride, but then no one cares about you, so...
Yeah, it's this interesting thing where you're documenting this, but you're also invisible.
Yeah. But then you get to, like, become, like, BFFs with the bride.
Well,
and
they're so grateful
fun.
To you.
Sometimes.
Okay. I'm sure I'll have, I'm like really just had a good experience, so you know. But I'm also working on a new project which is really relevant to Brooklyn that I want to talk about. Shuffle NYC. Shuffle.nyc.
Like shuffling a deck of cards?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like a free email catalog with apartments and art studios and jobs and things like that. And we're launching in late September. And I'm really just like excited to have like a tangible business because the Sketchbook Project is so weird.
Profit.
Yeah. So it's free to sign up for the email and you can at shuffle.nyc, but I'm really excited about that.
Have you heard of the Listings Project?
Yeah.
And so how is Shuffle different?
Sure. So we're definitely super inspired by that, and I love the Listings Project. But I really want to get emails for things that I want to see and not all the things that I don't want to see. And so the email process is super... it's like basically custom for you. So when you set all your preferences,
you like click what you want.
Yeah,
to see.
You only get those listings, and it's all super visual. So it's like all based on photos, and it also we're doing this. It's not one click, but basically you can go on and share within two clicks your information with the lister. So there's no kind of those like hidden email addresses where you have to like go through. Like if you're interested in an apartment,
you get to talk to that person
like. And you could do text message or email. So you can, as a lister, can like get a text message right away from someone who's interested being like, hey, you know, Jim's interested in your apartment. Call him at this number. And so like it's quick and it's very New York speed. So that's kind of what we're doing. I don't know. It's just fun. And we have a pigeon, which is why I have pigeons
on my
mind.
Yeah, pigeon. So your pigeon is the logo.
Yeah. And if you watch him, he jumps on the website.
Great. So I was going to ask you a little bit about maybe some of your influences, too. You went to school and, you know, you're a member of the world. Like, what are some influences that you can recollect that have influenced where you are now? Like people or things or pigeons?
I don't know. I've just always been kind of inspired by people who just, like, get things done. Like, I've never felt a boundary in my life with, like, I'm, like, totally, like, oh, if I could just go, like, move to this weird cabin in the woods and, like, figure out a way to make money and, like, do that. Like,
yeah,
that's...
I dream about that sometimes.
And that's, like, what the Sketchbook Project, like, was born out of. I'm, like, I'm just gonna, like, we like literally had no money, and we're gonna go rent this gallery, and we like waited outside the leasing office, and like everyone was like, you can't do this, like you have to have money to like start a business. And I'm just like, no, it'll be fine. Like, and I think I work really well under that pressure of like just making it work. And so I am like super inspired. Just I don't want to feel, I hate feeling like you can't, like
I'm the most reactive, like you can't do that. I'm like, oh really?
Yeah.
Great. I'm like, gonna show you
for real. Like, and it's not like I think, like, I don't think I could be like an astronaut. Like, I don't think anything is possible. I think it's more of just like, you think.
Don't you have to have good vision?
That's true.
And we're out. We're both wearing glasses.
Right.
Chris is the only one.
Captain Johnson, here I come.
I know. I can't even like see where I'm focusing on my camera.
That's why you take the lens off.
Like, does this thing even work?
Yeah, I'll just make do it light work and
shadow.
Yeah, natural light, too.
No, I just really. And it's more of just like this, I think you could create kind of the feeling of your life that you want to have. So I really like to just strive for that. And that's just what I try to do. And I hope that it keeps working.
It seems like it's panning out well. Chris, do you have any other questions or thoughts?
Holding? So many. They're brewing. So Swan was just asking a bit sort of about past, right, leading, you know, things influence leading you into Sketchbook Project and whatnot. I was thinking a bit about the future of the Sketchbook Project, you know, because you guys seem in a great spot right now where you know, you have this growing library in this large space and you're constantly getting new submissions. Like, what do you see as its future? What do you want its future to be?
Yeah, it's something we talk about a lot, and it's hard as a small business to, like, reignite things because you don't have the money to do it. And our business model isn't necessarily the best, where it's like, hey, you know, pay us this small amount of money now, and then a year later, we're going to hold on to your book forever. And so it doesn't really make sense. So we have so many. So, like, even if we stopped getting books, like, we still have this huge collection.
Yeah.
So we think about it from that perspective a lot. Like, what could we do with what we have?
So many sketchbooks.
We're just starting to, like, launch an initiative to... where you can get any print from any sketchbook made on, like, high-quality archival paper.
Prints, or, like, maybe, like, other things like T-shirts or something.
Yeah, like, I feel like T-shirts.
Personalized
really
shoes, like shoe.
Yeah.
Prints.
Underwear.
Yeah, just a lot of underwear. but we want to, like, see, like, what we could do with that. And so we're starting with, like, basic.
And but that brings up lots of questions in terms of monetization and, like, are you paying the artists because it's their work? And,
We are. So we have a terms of use that technically we don't have to, but that's not our thing.
You're a kind, moral person.
That doesn't make sense. So, we're splitting 50-50 the profit with the artists. And so it's kind of actually split 33% with us, the printer, and the artist. So we're going to kind of see how that pans out. And we haven't sold any yet. So
you're like the next
I wouldn't worry about
YouTube.
It too much.
Just kidding. YouTube for sketchbook prints.
I think we're more like everyone's into like the Society 6 kind of thing, you know?
Society 6?
Yeah, where you can get like artists put their work up and you can get like iPad cases made with their work.
Yeah, that's, I imagine. I was trying to go big.
All right, I'm going to be YouTube.
Speaking of going big, so obviously you've done all these tours around the country. Have you gone international at all?
Do you have any plan? Obviously we've gone to Canada.
Right.
But we've also
done... That doesn't count. It's American journey.
We have gone to London, and we went to Melbourne, Australia as well.
The hubs. Chris wants to go to Melbourne.
Yeah.
It was really
cool. But not with Sketchbook.
Oh. Forget it. I wouldn't do it.
However you can
but
get
if,
there.
Yeah, if me doing a sketchbook takes me there, sure.
That was actually MailChimp partnered with us to make that happen, which was really amazing. And
thanks,
we got to go there for 10 days and set up at the University of Melbourne.
Sketchbooks down under.
Yeah. Yeah, we did... it was so many years ago, but... Well, we did, like, MailChimp delivers the Sketchbook Project to... Australia, which I thought was cute for them. And yeah, it was amazing. I
would definitely recommend you've gotten some great partnership experiences. You mentioned Faber-Castell and just now MailChimp. Do you want to talk a little bit more about different things that have come about as people have discovered you and have wanted to promote and sponsor you?
Yeah, we are so lucky because we get partners that want to like send our sketchbooks around the world. And our community obviously really loves that because their books get to travel and get people from all over to see it. So we have had people come who wanted to, like, I think more take advantage of like this group of artists, and we usually do not go with that. We more look for partners that are into promoting the artists in a, you know, legit way. So it's something we've always kind of done, but it's something we have to focus more and more on as the world becomes more and more expensive. But it does help us a lot. And I think because we can like curate the collection really easily, and we can like go mobile, or we can,
you've got your van and trailer.
Yeah. So we do lots of different things. We also do just like fun free projects on our website with partners. We did one with Showtime when they did when Penny Dreadful launched. Oh. We had people draw their like nightmares, and then we actually published.
You got to process them.
Yeah, it was like pretty deep. And then we had we worked with the New Yorker, and we actually had 10 spreads in the New Yorker, which we thought was really awesome for those artists. So that was like one of the reasons we did that. Even though we don't normally have work created for the project like that, where we would like use. But I was like, who would not want to be in the New Yorker?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's a silly thing. So, yeah, all different types of things. And we're always like, we kind of see ourselves a little bit as like a boutique marketing company that uses the Sketchbook Project as our tool, and like finding ways to promote the artist and the project and work with people that want
to
make that happen.
And it always comes back to people sharing stories and resonating with others' stories. Thoughts? Any?
Oh, I was also just wondering if you guys done any sort of collaborative sketchbook projects?
Saying one person starts a sketchbook and another person adds to it?
Yeah, like having a workshop at the library where like, yeah, there's these blank sketchbooks. People just kind of send on them. People can kind of start and go on any book, and other people come and start and go. And then so you have these sort of like almost like crowdsourced works.
Yeah, I mean, none that we have initiated, but there are interactive books in the library that people have done. We had one that someone did and they like asked us to bring it on tour with us, and like had people do it in each city.
Cool.
But we also just have like ones that are like, hey, draw in my book. And there's one that is like a fabric case that has like pens in it, and so it's like ready to go. So yeah, we kind of just leave it to the artists to see creative ways that they could do that, but that's totally within our boundaries.
Yeah, I feel like that could be a pretty cool creative project.
I think it's cool to add that in, like that further interactiveness with the project.
And I mean, talk about sketchbooks being creative outlets, you know. I've had people do like origami pages or like pop-up books, and so it really is just like a blank book that you can just experiment with and try something and see.
We think it's so funny when people write us back. They're like, this is like when they sign up for the project, they're like, what, I paid $28 for this book? And I'm like, that's not the point. Like, and like, I feel like as a creative person.
So
like,
I guess that's an interesting question, is how many books do you send out that you never see again?
We get about 30% back.
What? Whoa.
Yeah.
That's so low.
Yeah. And it's like,
do you think that's like artists' insecurity of being like, well, I didn't really do anything worth sharing?
That's a big percentage. There's people who just forget or lazy. And but it's actually really annoying because we want, like, what's
you're
the
like, this so is cool what we're doing. We don't just want your money. We want your sketchbook.
We
want your ideas.
I just want your money.
But you can always submit your book later, so we do let people do that.
Time limit.
We have like a deadline. But
so, have you ever had like a book come like 20, well, I guess that's not, like, seven
when
years.
I was 10 years old. And
I know. Math.
Decades later.
I'm really good at numbers. So if you had, like, a sketchbook come, like, 5 or 7 years later that's been like, oh, this person was, like, ordered this so long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a few years. But we've only been keeping the books since 2009. So, yeah, there's the most it could be would be, like, just 6 years. Yeah, we've gotten old ones too. I mean, our system is so kind of like it's hard to even know. We'd have to like you have to like really pay attention.
Yeah, that's another question I had is like as an artist, if I submit a sketchbook, do I get to see if people are checking it out or if they're like how many people? And
so you get a notification whether it's a text message or email every time someone views your book in person, and then if you have your book digital, it gives you real time statistics of how many times it's been viewed.
Damn.
Yeah, so when you get the text message that says, your book's been viewed 4 times. I mean, and that's part of our charm, and I think other people may argue against this, but your physical book is not viewed a million times. Like, if you want that, you should put it on Instagram. Like, we're not the place.
Yeah, that's what I think about, like, this, like, like-centric.
Yeah, and I think people, like, expect that, and it's like, it's...
My book's gonna go viral. Yeah. So good.
It just is impossible. And also, your book would probably fall apart if it was viewed by a million people. But...
Have you had that? Books that are just, like, looked at or just, like, maybe so fragile when you receive them?
It's something that we're thinking about more and more as we have, you know, 6- and 7-year-old books. But, you know, because of the way, you know, their book is viewed so much more the first year than it is the following year. So...
That's true. People want new content type. Inspiration.
Well, and like they go on tour the first year that we have them, and they're viewed more because our system is, you know, kind of picks books based on how many times they've been viewed. Like it tries to do lower view counts. So, yeah, and I think that there is something that people don't understand about the project is there is a percentage on the artist to like promote that they're there. Like, and I think people forget like, that like we can't promote.
Especially when you're on tour and like, hey, friends in Chicago,
for sure.
Go check out my book. Maybe you're in it.
Yeah, we'll promote the project and get people there, but there's 35,000 books. Like, you need to tell people that they can find it, and that is what you should. Like, if you have people visiting New York or people in New York that want to see your work, like, you can be like, hey, go to this place and view my physical artwork, like, without having to leave your couch.
Any other questions that you have that are urgent, burning?
You guys just running out of things to talk about?
No, not at all. I like to end my shows with a rapid fire, but I don't want to cut off any.
I don't really have any.
Great. So I like to end my shows with a rapid fire series of questions so we can talk about them quickly or not. It's not actually rapid fire. So since this is a book-centric show, is there a book that you remember your parents reading to you when you were a child?
No. I don't know if they ever read me. They should have read me books.
Yeah.
I got to call them after that.
Mom.
Oh, great.
No, I mean, like, the normal, like, oh, my God, I can't think of any children's books right now. Dr. Seuss.
I don't want books in your mind.
Oh, my God, what was the one that they just made the movie out
of? BFG with Roald Dahl?
No, like, not just made it, like.
Little Prince? They made lots of movies.
Chris,
is there a book you remember your parents reading to you when you were a child?
Nope.
No books.
Damn. I was trying to think about this earlier and I couldn't think of a single book.
I had two books popped in my mind. Jenny's Bear, which is like about this girl that has these bears that visit her. And then The Little Mermaid, but the old story, not the Disney version.
I remember.
Yeah.
Marvin Redpost. Have you ever heard? It was a series of books, and it was about this like family that had one kid named Marvin who was a redhead, and all of the other ones were like blonde. And
I have
red
hair.
Felt a little odd. And it was all his little stories, and my dad used to always buy me them when he like went on business trips. He would buy me them, they did give me books.
Say it again, Marvin.
Marvin Redpost.
Marvin Redpost. Oh. Have to check that out. Chris, do you have a question? Do you want me to ask another question?
You can ask questions.
Well, I like to ask, what's your favorite brag? So, like, you're at a party and people are like, oh, I did this cool thing. What's, like, the first thing that comes to your mind?
I mostly just like to talk about my dog.
Oh, what kind of dog?
He's a golden retriever mix. He's red. Aww. He matches your hair.
Aww. Good color.
He is just a big doof, and
I think... You said he's six?
He's two.
Oh, he's two. Yeah. Just making up numbers,
six,
too.
24.
Math, 20 years.
Yeah, he's like 105.
It's actually a turtle.
He's not a dog at all.
Okay, your dog. Sorry. Your dog is your brag.
Yeah, that's for nice. Sure.
I like it. Let's see. I'll do some more. Do you have any creative routines that you feel you do?
No. I mean, I just... When you run a place like the Sketch Trick Project and you only have, like, one employee, like, that's literally all I'm able to do. And for 5 years, my wife ran the project with me, and so that was literally all we ever talked about. And now she... We were like, it's time for you to, like, do something because we are going to, kill ourselves just talking about
this. Or just become the project.
So that's nice. But, yeah, I don't know if I have...
Do you have, like, a morning routine? Like, you wake up, you need your coffee or anything?
Yeah, coffee for sure. I really love blueberry muffins. And I usually take Cameron, my dog, for a walk, and we go get... a blueberry muffin and coffee. That's definitely my morning routine. Yeah.
Simple pleasures.
Yeah.
If I were to come into your house right now, what kind of books would be showcased, like out on the coffee table or line of sight, line of vision?
We have a lot of cookbooks that we never really use.
The thing called the internet. I'm so ambitious. I'm like, oh, this book looks like such delicious food. If I get it, I'll make it.
Yeah, I love like the look of like cookbooks, and so we have a lot of those. My wife is a much bigger reader than me, so I'm sure she has a lot of really great books. But we do have a lot of Princeton Architectural Press books, who did our book, but we love their style
nice.
And
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, nice publisher. I've got some things from them.
Yeah. And for a while, they would just, like, give us free samples all the time. Ooh. So we have, like, a bunch of those.
Can you say no to free?
Yeah.
That's a good price point.
Yeah.
Chris, if I were to go in your house, any books?
Oh, a few. There's a book on pterosaurs. That's pretty great. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, I love wildlife, so I have a lot of wildlife guides and travel guides. And then on the fiction side, I have a lot of science fiction and fantasy.
Nice. And then I skipped you on the question, any routines or creative rituals, anything you do?
I like to wake up this one.
Aww.
Oh.
I would hope that you've seen the books in his house.
Where do you live?
You guys have like a weird relationship.
Like Helen Bonham Carter and Tim Burton, that like have their castles next to each other, but they're still independent. I don't want to see you except on my terms. So as a creative, what's the best creative advice you've been given?
I think this goes along with just what I was talking about before. I think people need to stop talking about it and just like try to do something. And I know it's easier said than done, for sure. I know it's
not. You can't start a business with no money. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
but I know that it's hard, and I know that we've had a ton of luck to be able to keep doing what we're doing.
I think part of that lends itself because your project is so unique. I think it's
Are there similar things out there?
I mean,
I've really seen.
Yeah, I've never seen anything that's like this.
But I think we've had times where, like, we were a few weeks of going out of business and, like, someone came around and was like, hey, like, we want to do the school project with you. And so I think we've had some really good luck. But I don't know, like, especially when you're younger and, like, not that you can't do this when you're older, too, but, like, I think people just worry so much about what they have to lose and, like, get really into the routine. And it's mostly the fear of losing the routine that keeps people from doing it. My sister just had this amazing job working for a huge luxury company and made a ton of money. And she just quit her job. And I'm really excited for her because she hated it and it was draining her soul. Yes. And now she's starting...
Finding the compromise.
Yeah. She's starting a consulting business for small businesses because she's like really easy to talk to and just like makes people feel really, she's just like will pump you up.
Yeah. There's definitely the personalities that are like amplifiers, if you will.
She has rent and like has to pay bills, but she was just like, she saves the money up and then she just did it and she's just like going for it. And it's like, what's the worst? Like you go get a job again. Like
you have to go work at McDonald's.
Yeah. I mean, she's like,
that's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
No.
At least, and then you get food stamps because you work at McDonald's.
I used to love being I used to be a pizza delivery guy, and I loved doing that. Just sit in your car, listen to music.
Yeah, that's a. I was trying to think there. I had a job, and there's this guy that worked there. Oh, I worked at a specialty grocery store, and I liked it a lot. But there's one employee that's like, man, I hate this. I just want to sit in my car and listen to music. And he became a pizza driver, which is like, awesome. You found your dream job.
I mean, if you live in like a more affordable city than New York, I feel like that's definitely a plausible career choice.
Yeah. Chris, creative advice?
Be bold and follow what you love.
Okay.
Thanks. Wait, and like you,
way
you
to fucking write it off.
Dismissive. No, I'm processing it.
There was that 8-year-old in that you read in our intro, where said,
it's like, there aren't
he's
mistakes.
Like, I don't make any mistakes. He's like, I just erase them and start over. And I was like, that kid's awesome.
On it. Last question for you in this rapid fire. So I am really interested in people's addictions in terms of media consumption. Do you have like a Netflix show that's like, oh, I have to watch this show, or like a podcast or anything?
Yeah, I have felt this way about The Walking Dead for a really long time.
A lot of people.
I'm just like really depressed about it. I don't want to watch. I don't want to spoiler any for people who haven't seen it, but I just.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Turn off the. I just don't want it to be so depressing. Like, it's just, life is depressing enough. I didn't mind when they were just like running from zombies, but now it's like real.
People,
like, they're just literally like, just like
really out killing people. Each other.
Yeah, and I just, of course, watched Stranger Things, which was amazing. And so I just watched it really fast, and it was really good.
I haven't seen that one.
You should get on it for sure.
Chris, Netflix edition, addictions, podcast addictions.
None.
You read The New Yorker and The New York Times?
I don't like The New Yorker.
Oh, you read The New York,
New York Times. I read.
Yeah. Great. Well, if I'm curious about you, how would I find you?
Sure. So sketchbookproject.com is how you can find out about the project and about the Brooklyn Art Library. Me personally, stephenpeterman.com. Stephen with a V, not one of those PH people.
Ooh, burn.
And shuffle.nyc.
Great, which is launching.
You can sign up now for free, but you won't be able to put up a listing until late September. But for now, you can go on there and just read the About Us page and sign up to be a part of it.
Wonderful. Yeah. Great. And Chris, if people are interested in you and want to know more.
Where can we find you tonight?
Everywhere. You could check out my website, chrisjohnson.format.com.
All the wildlife photography and more.
Swan, where can we find out about you?
I'm at Swan Drishti, DRSTI, or at Ink and Worm. And you'll find me on all the socials except LinkedIn and Tumblr and Flickr. I don't do those. But
Flickr's on its way out, actually.
Yeah, so Twitter.
Sure. I can't even log in.
I like Instagram the most, I think. Facebook.
MySpace?
Email. I don't MySpace. I missed that fan. That fan. Wagon. Anyways, I'll leave you with a word, take it or leave it. Sisyphean. I saw them stars go out at night. Ooh, yeah. I'm looking right. Roll it up. Keep up. Roll them up. Get up. Roll it up. Keep up. Show me like a tone. Oh. Hit me like a tone.
Slipping away.